You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Kevin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Very busy show coming up for you today. It's Friday, which means Dan Schaefer, our now colleague.
Yes, indeed.
And the brains behind the recombobulation area joining us at 10:33. He has been a very busy guy.
Oh my gosh.
Putting together this incredible voter guide that he has broken down every single race.
Yeah.
Assembly and, or legislative race in the state.
He showed me the sheet, the Google spreadsheet.
It's crazy.
Craziness.
It's crazy. So we're going to talk to him about that in the 11 o'clock hour, 11:06. Todd Elliott will be joining us to talk about the quest to have the Milwaukee Brewers racing sausages immortalized in a Lego set.
Mm-hmm.
And you can help make this happen.
Yes. We'll talk to him more about that when he gets here.
Want to get you inspired.
It's a fun process.
It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We are going to start off. Oh, and don't forget, Go for the Green and Gold. Our statewide text to win contest continues. Every hour that we play, 7, 11, 1, and 4 p.m., we will give you a word of the hour that you have to text in using the Civic Media app. So if you don't have it yet, go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, when we give you the word, you just want to text that into whatever station you're listening to across the Civic Media radio network. And you'll text in the word and you can win either $100 in cash, some very nice gold jewelry, everyone in the running for the grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So that is coming up at 11 a.m. Be listening for the word of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start off. We haven't talked about him for a while. Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman.
You mean the most rumpled man in Congress?
Among the most rumply.
I think he's the most rumpled.
He was not yesterday.
No.
No, he was not rumply.
He was on the TV.
He was on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a suit,
mm-hmm.
and he looked nice.
He didn't look awkward at all.
No, well, I would not necessarily say that, but
yeah.
He was not rumply.
Fair. You're right.
But he was talking, of course, about voter fraud. During his appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal program, callers asked him repeatedly what evidence there is of all this massive voter fraud, and he had an interesting explanation. Calvin, let's play that clip from Glenn Grothman on voting. We're just pulling that up.
Yep.
It has to load.
It's thinking. It's buffering.
Deciding whether it wants
you
to.
You know, in the 2020 election, all the recounts they did, all the going back over things, the only cheating they found was in Donald Trump's favor. They found several cases of cheating in Donald Trump's favor.
Hey, Mike, we'll get a response to what you said. Congressman Grothman.
Well, I have talked to people in Wisconsin who participated in our recount. They had felt that they found ballots that appeared to be all filled out by the same person, several ballots in a row. I talked to someone last month who claimed to be a landlord, and he said that he checked and tenants who no longer live there voted. I mean, obviously these haven't gone through the criminal system.
Obviously.
These people have chosen not to come forward and make their observations public.
Oh.
But it doesn't surprise me.
Congressman,
and
would there be enough, though, to change the outcome in Wisconsin?
Well, obviously it would take, you know, 10,000 inaccurate ballots or 20,000 ballots to turn things around. No, we don't have evidence of that, but who knows? If you find a little bit of a little bit of cheating. Who knows if you had the time and resources to look around for more? Who knows what you'd find?
Who knows, Glenn?
We don't know.
Who knows what you might find? Who knows? There's a couple questions I have.
Just a couple?
There's just a couple questions I have for Mr. Grothman. In his first part, he said he talked to people who felt that there were ballots that were filled out by the same person. Now, when I fill out my ballot, there are little circles, right? And you fill in the little circle.
Yes, I think all Wisconsin ballots are fill out with a pencil or a pen.
A pen, and you fill in the little circle
for your candidate. Correct.
We don't sign them.
No.
There's nowhere on the ballot that asks for your signature, right?
I think they write down a number, and then there's initializing that happens from the staff.
When you just check in.
Yes.
But you are not signing your ballot. You're not printing your, you don't put your name on it. So how did they determine that the same person filled out these ballots by the way they filled out the little circles? Is that the proof?
Well, remember, Jane, it was just a little bit of cheating. It was a skosh.
A pinch.
A pinch of cheating. Like,
the other thing that made me kind of go, huh, was he talked to a guy who claimed to be a landlord. That's what Glenn said. He talked to a guy who claimed to be a landlord. Did Glenn follow up on this to check and see if the guy actually was a landlord? Doesn't sound like it.
Of course not.
So he talked to people who felt that there was voter fraud because they believed the same person filled out the circles the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think we all fill out their circles the same way. And then he talked to a landlord who claimed he was a landlord, but we're not really sure he was a landlord, mm-hmm. who said he had tenants who had moved and were voting from there or something. And then the kicker for me was at the very end. If only we had spent more money to investigate voter fraud. We did pay Michael Gableman over $1 million, did we not?
Correct.
Over $1 million.
And even the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin, twice tried to recall voting for Trump boss, said this was a fair and free and safe election. There were no problems. Come on. I mean, and that's the thing, though, Jane, is that all they have to do is just keep talking about it. And they get to blatantly admit, I don't really know.
I feel it.
Gut feeling.
Gut feelings. PJ points out on the live stream, absentee ballot voting, you do sign the envelope and you have a witness sign. You're absolutely right, PJ, but that's not what Glenn said. He wasn't talking about absentee ballots. At least I didn't hear him say absentee ballots. He just said he talked to people who felt that there were ballots filled out by the same person. He didn't bring up signatures. He didn't bring up anything else. And then the guy claims he's a landlord. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know there's fraud, even if there's only two cases, that, you know, there might be more, but we didn't spend any money. Yeah, baby, we did.
Yes.
Taxpayers shelled out well over $1 million. So Michael Gableman could go to My Pillow Guy consortiums with all of his concrete evidence of massive voter fraud and cheating.
It always seems to have come out just last week. All the information they have, it just came out last week. How come no one's heard about it but you?
Yeah.
Matt from Germantown, who's kind of our on the ground ballot expert, he sends us a lot of information.
He does.
Ballots are not identifiable. No number on ballot or name or anything like that. But plus, by law, also, if you move, you have to live in your new home for 28 days before you can vote there. Otherwise, by law, you vote in your old location. So this happens a lot in apartments as turnover is high.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it goes back to what I just said, though. They just have to keep talking about it. They just have to keep bringing it up.
Throwing out the aspersions.
No one's going to hold them to the fire for true concrete proof. Because you think this is 2024 in nearly four full, almost 5 years now, you think if there was something concrete, it would come up. If there's concrete, I'll say it right now. If there's concrete proof of voter fraud, I want to see it.
I do too.
And if you show me that the election was stolen or rigged or whatever, then I will gladly say, well, then I guess Joe Biden was never meant to be the president. But after 60 plus court cases, 60 losses,
millions of dollars,
people from your own party saying you're wrong, now we're bringing it up. And not only, like, at least when Trump was doing this back in the 2021, 2022, and, you know, last week, there was more fervor, and MyPillow guy at least tries to push forth details, whereas Glenn Grothman gets to sit there and say, I don't know, I have no idea. I don't know.
Well, people told me.
Yeah.
People told me that they felt.
I was at a pancake breakfast.
Right.
Awkwardly standing next to someone for a picture, and someone said, hey, I'm a landlord, and rampant voter fraud is happening. And he's like, I guess I'll go to C-SPAN and talk.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty remarkable.
$174,000 a year, folks, plus benefits and a pension.
Does he have a challenger this year?
I don't think so. Well, probably does, but none worth talking about. No offense to that person, but they're the sacrificial lambs of the Democratic Party.
Unfortunately. We do have that clip, my favorite clip, one of our favorite clips, from MAGA House Speaker Moses Mike Johnson, because they just know that voter fraud happens. Calvin, let's play that clip.
We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number.
We don't have that number. Tough to prove. We've only been working on it for 5 years. Tough to prove.
Well, you don't have to work on it when it's instinctive. It's intuitive.
Intuitive.
Gut feeling.
We know intuitively.
It comes through an app that you and your son share. Glenn Grothman is running, and I was disrespectful. John Zarbano is running against Glenn Grothman in the election this year. So, you know,
we'll make a reach.
Yep, we'll keep it clean. Keep that fight clean, gentlemen. Debate well, have fun. Show us some proof.
Yeah, show us just a little, just a skosh,
just a pinch of proof
would be great. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do about it?
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political director will be joining us as we recombobulate every Friday.
I have a question for Calvin. Did you just play that song out of nowhere for any specific reason?
The connection is going to be really thin. I was looking for a song that had something to do with the news, and there's not really many songs to do with that, so I settled for a song by Huey Lewis.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because that song, Stuck With You, is off of their album 4 that was released 38 years ago today.
Look at that.
Look at that connection, baby.
Serendipity.
a fan of history.
You know, when Calvin says serendipity, you really believe in fate.
We did want to talk about the news. This is in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a piece by Daniel Bice and Mary Spacuza. Headline reads, Appeals Court tosses Republican Senator's lawsuit against Wausau online news outlet. I remember when this happened.
Yes.
State appellate courts has thrown out Republican Senator Corey Tomchick's lawsuit accusing the Wausau pilot and review of defamation after they reported he was overheard using a homophobic slur against a teenager and another person while at a public hearing. Tomczyk argued that the pilots and review intentionally, maliciously published these stories, inaccurately accusing him of using the slur during a meeting in August of 2021. The hearing concerned a resolution calling for greater diversity and inclusion in the community. Tomczyk repeatedly said he didn't say that word at the meeting. Three people later said they heard him use that slur. Tomczyk also said in a deposition he had used that term at other times. So this appellate court decided, they affirmed rather a lower court ruling dismissing the lawsuit. So Shireen Seiwert is the founder and editor of the Wausau Pilot and Review. She said she's relieved. Obviously, the court has upheld the fundamental right of journalists to report truthfully on matters of public concern. This is the kicker, though. While this victory is encouraging, the prolonged legal battle has taken a toll on our organization, and it underscores the need for stronger protections for journalists in Wisconsin. It's cost them almost $200,000 in legal fees.
I remember when we first started talking about this some time ago, it may have been last year, I think they were at like $100,000, $150,000. Yeah.
Now they're nearing $200,000.
This is a shame. This is shameful. This is awful.
Well, and she said with all of the mounting legal costs, she thought that they were going to have to shut it down.
Yeah.
The pilot and review. Fortunately, people in the community like the Wausau pilot and review. So a GoFundMe for them has now raised more than $130,000, which is great.
That's great.
But
those are temporary fixes because it happens again.
For these smaller independent news outlets who don't have big legal teams.
No.
They just don't. I'm sure they have a legal team, but when something like this happens, Bill Leiters is the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. Again, according to the Journal Sentinel, he said this was a slam dunk. He said there was never any question that Senator Tomczyk was in the wrong. He's clearly a public figure. The publication did nothing wrong, and yet he sued it anyway to punish the pilot and review for writing about him.
Yeah, this is a...
It's a
slap suit.
I don't like you.
Yeah.
You were mean to me.
Yep. It's the definition of a slap suit, which is just, I just want to make your life horrible, try to shut you down, or at least shut you up, and I'm going to do it because I can, and I can afford it, and here we go.
The Wausau Republican says in a statement he's not certain if he'll appeal it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He says the takeaway from this decision is that unsuspecting citizens whose only crime is participating in the democratic process can have their names destroyed by a partisan media outlet.
Well, usually when a bunch of people hear you do something...
Are three witnesses who heard you use that term in this meeting.
Yeah.
The court said it did not prove that the Wausau Pilot and Review had intentionally published false information. And Bill Leiters, again, the head of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, says the whole purpose of the lawsuit was to kill the Wausau Pilot and Review.
That is the...
Just to sue them. Until they burn up all of their money and they have to close.
Yeah. It's not the first time it's happened. And that's, of course it is. He has no vested interest in anything other than crushing his enemies because he can.
Jeannie from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Oh, thank you for bringing this up. Oh, these poor perverted people that spread lies continuously and never are held accountable for the lies they bellow out across the nation. And yet we need to start enforcing our frivolous lawsuits for these people because trying to take down a source of news because they print the truth is just amazing to me. But yet we got the fraudster in chief out there spewing lies, you know, nonstop every day.
Yep.
And it's like, give me a break. And then honest people try to tell the truth and they're taken to court. And I mean, there is something wrong with this picture, folks. We need to correct our environment because this is unbelievable. Thank you for the work you do. Keep up the great work and have a good weekend.
You too, Jean.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Really appreciate you listening and checking in with us. This is why journalism, independent journalism, is important, people. And I know it's a pain when there's paywalls behind everything, but your local news outlets are critical to holding your local politicians to account.
Absolutely. And this
I mean, just think of all the things they get away with on the way it is, and then get rid of all local news reporting, and then it's just, they can just do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're covering the things that affect us the most, those city council meetings, the county supervisor meetings.
School board meetings.
School board. Those are three that directly affect you every day. So, yeah.
Go check out that GoFundMe. We'll put a link in our show notes after the show is over. News is next. And then when we return, Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area will be here. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm discombobulated. It's grounds to be.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to ruin. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor. Dan, we got a gift from a listener. Scott from Shorewood had a friend had a 3D printer, so they were messing around with some things. And they created this just for our show.
I've been seeing this on social media, and I am both delighted and terrified.
I know.
By it every time it comes across my feed. Is there an official name now? I've been following the voting here, too.
We are still taking votes. We're going to announce it at the end of the show.
In the 11 o'clock hour. Even though you've been calling it Jabba the Musk.
I'm just trying it out.
Okay.
Jabba the Musk is one option. You like Elon the Hutt. Calvin also likes Elon the Hutt. We're taking suggestions as well, but I think Jabba the Musk just kind of flows.
I've been told.
I'm with Jane here. It's Jabba the Musk is my vote.
All right.
Well, we're leaving it up to you.
And also, one of our coworkers has said, Jabba the Musk better win.
Ooh.
Okay.
Getting passionate about it now. But that was courtesy of Scott from Shorewood. So thank you so much for that, Scott. We have been having so much fun with that. You have been a busy man, Dan Schaefer.
I sure have.
I mean,
I sure have.
Go to civicmedia.us. Go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on this incredible voter guide that Dan Schaefer has put together. And I like your title. It says New Board, New Game.
That's right. We've got new maps and a whole new ball game in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And yes, as I've done the last couple election cycles at the Recombobulation Area, I am previewing every last race on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And now doing it with Civic Media. We have a few extra new bells and whistles and graphics and interactive features and a whole lot of other things that you can explore in that voter guide. So go to civicmedia.us and check out the Wisconsin State Legislature voter guide. The piece on the state Senate went up on Wednesday afternoon, breaking down all 16 races there. And we are just about to get the assembly preview over the finish line too. And that is 99 seats in the Wisconsin State Assembly. There is a whole lot there and we've been very busy in the Civic Media behind the scenes team getting this ready to go. But we're really excited to share it with you. And look, the Wisconsin State Assembly for the first time in a long, long time, could be won, could realistically be won by either party. The majority could be won by the Republicans, or majority could be won by Democrats. It is no longer this entrenched power that Republicans have because of the way that the maps have been gerrymandered. And now there is a real shot for Democrats to flip the assembly for the first time in more than a decade.
I don't even know how that feels.
I'm afraid to even feel hopeful about that.
Well, you know, look, it is rather discombobulating.
It is.
I must say.
It is.
Even to just look at this and think, wait, Democrats can win the majority in the state of Wisconsin, in the state legislature. But yes, it's true. I still think the Republicans are probably the slight favorites to have the majority in the assembly. They have a little bit closer of a path to that 50 seat threshold, but it's going to be determined by toss up seats and closely competitive districts instead of just the maps,
yeah,
instead of the way that the lines are drawn across the state. So we have, you know, in the state Senate, I keyed in on three toss up districts, two other competitive districts. That's kind of going to determine to potentially significantly reshape the makeup of the state Senate. The majority is not going to be in play there until 2026, realistically, because only half of the state Senate is
right
up every 2 years.
Right.
But in the state assembly, I think I've identified about 12 seats that could really go either way. Eight in particular that I've put in the toss-up category. And so the majority is going to be determined by those toss-up seats. And I talked to Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer when I was down at the DNC. She predicted that Democrats would get to 52 seats. And there are some really compelling candidates in a lot of these close races that could get to that 50-seat threshold for Democrats. And even if they don't, it's going to change the way Wisconsin is governed in profound, profound ways.
Good heavens, they might actually have to do something on behalf of constituents. What a concept. I don't know what to do with that.
And I've noticed, too, and just on that point, Republicans in the past have said that they win on candidate quality. And I've done a couple of these guides, and looking through each of the candidates, I would certainly refute that point. But I would say this year, because of the gerrymander, I think they took their candidate recruitment a whole lot more seriously. And there are a lot more moderate, experienced candidates than a lot of the election denier, anti-vax,
yep,
fringe type of candidates that we've seen in 2020 and 2022. So I think that is another benefit from the gerrymander. It's forcing Republicans to recruit candidates that are not completely off the deep end.
And that was part of the whole goal, right, Dan? Because we've talked about this before, in that when you are gerrymandered to this degree, it is the extremists who tend, yeah, to get elected, and then they stay elected, and you can't shake them off like a bad burr. And I think for Wisconsinites, this is what we wanted when we went out to the polls in April in such huge numbers and elected now Justice Janet Protasiewicz. I think, well done, us. Seriously.
Yeah, it's the voters who made this happen.
Right.
It is the voters who voted in election after election in the Wisconsin Supreme Court races to flip the balance of power there. It's the voters that put a governor like Tony Evers in to have somebody that would actually sign new, fairer maps and be open to reforming this process. And it is people voting in election after election. You can't take any plays off. Each one of these wins for Democrats in the last few years has mattered for this. And so now this is just really setting up a kind of a once in a generation moment with these new maps and with the opportunity, in particular in the assembly, to flip the majority in the chamber. I know, Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker from time to time.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
Robin Voss. So there is a potential outcome where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
She's speechless.
I am, because again, it's just even hard to conceptualize that happening. I don't want to be too hopeful, but I am buoyed by, again, the turnout that we had in April, because I think this is what a vast majority of Wisconsinites want. We want compromise. We want things to get accomplished. We want money to address PFAS, the poison chemicals in our water. We want those things to get fixed. And they're just tired of the status quo and tired of Robin Voss and so many others who have been there for years and years and years and years and treat it like it's their money. And they know best what to do with that money, regardless of what their constituents want. So I hope this carries forward now to November 5th. Now that we do have fairer maps, it still means everybody's guy has to go out and vote. Yeah. You have to be a voter. Yeah.
And again, I'll keep reemphasizing this. I think the Democrats are still the underdogs here. I think the Republicans, you know, I put it at about a 60% chance that Republicans will stay in the majority.
Yeah.
I think they have a little bit of a closer path. And like I said, there's some of the candidates that they were able to recruit in some of these toss-up districts are stronger than the ones that they have recruited in previous races. But the fact that there is an opportunity there, and I think in certain parts of the state that have been gerrymandered into oblivion for more than a decade, there is some, I think, some pent-up energy in a lot of these races. There are, you know, districts in the Eau Claire area. There's a key district in Wausau. There's a number of districts in the Milwaukee area suburbs. There's a number in Green Bay and the Fox Valley that are going to be toss-ups. You know, one example that I think you can point to is Sheboygan. Sheboygan is a kind of blue-leaning city where there's been in previous maps, there was a line drawn right down the middle of it to make it into two red districts. Well, now all of the city of Sheboygan is in one district, and voters there have the opportunity to send a representative from their community to do so. And so I think, you know, places like Sheboygan, where there's been no opportunity, no realistic opportunity for a Democrat to have representation there. Now there's a really strong candidate there, Joe Sheehan, who was the superintendent of the Sheboygan Area School District for a long time, and now is running for assembly. These are the types of places where you have some of this pent up energy, where they've been denied representation because of the maps, and you're going to have more people, you know, in the ground game, knocking on doors, interacting with voters, hosting community events, different things like that that we haven't seen in some of these communities in quite some time.
What a radical idea, Dan, to have one entire city in the same district. That's just like wacky.
This is how things have been. Whitewater is another example. The city of Whitewater was carved. There was a line down right down the middle of the UW Whitewater campus under old maps, splitting that into two red districts. Now there's an opportunity for a Democrat to represent Whitewater for the first time in a long time. So there's places like this. And I think you always hear from Republicans how, all the Democrats are clustered into Milwaukee and Madison. And going through and seeing these Senate and Assembly races, you really see how the state's real political geography is. Yes, there's a lot of deep red districts in rural places, some of the larger geographical districts around the state. But you have these places like Wauwatosa and Ashwaubenon and Wausau and Sheboygan that are purple areas of this purple state. And it is going to be those purple swingy areas that are going to decide the majority.
If you're just joining
us, it should be.
Yes,
as it should be.
Absolutely. As it should be. If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here. He's our political editor for Civic Media and also the author of the award-winning Recombobulation Area. I highly encourage you to subscribe. Talking about Dan's voter guide that you can find on our website, go to civicmedia.us and click on that. And has your wife been texting you pictures of your children? Because I can just imagine that you've been buried in research for the last couple of months and haven't seen anyone.
I have been spending a lot of time in my editing cave.
I bet.
But I have also had the opportunity to see my kids. So, you know, hopefully I'll be seeing a little more of them in the coming days.
Of these swingy districts, so who do you think is the most nervous? You had mentioned Mequon. I'm thinking of Jody Habesh-Sinikin and the Dan Knodel of Face Off.
Yeah, this in the Senate, one of the most interesting races on the map in the state Senate, and it is one of my three toss-up districts that I've identified in the state Senate, is in District 8, where you have Democrat Jody Habersh-Sinikin, who's running against Republican Dewey Strobel. Now, Dewey Strobel used to be in District 20. He lives in Saukville. Saukville is in Ozaukee County. There's a much more normal district that he's now a part of. And when he was in District 20, that went from Ozaukee County. That district went from Ozaukee County all the way up to the eastern shores of Lake Winnebago.
Which makes no sense.
Really bizarre district. And he's run uncontested in, I think, three consecutive Senate elections. So this will be the first time he's faced a competitive race in quite some time. And Jody Habersh-Sinikin has proved to be a pretty strong candidate. She almost flipped the district last year when there was a special election to fill Alberta Darling's seat. And that was when the district had a much more Republican lean. Under new maps, it's still got a slight Republican lean. This is a district that was won by both Ron Johnson and Tony Evers in the 2022 election. So it is, you know, a true swing district as it gets. But this is going to be a really competitive one on the state Senate map, to be sure.
We are going to keep this conversation going. You can always join us, call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxed weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. Populate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me? It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a
good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, of course, the author of The Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's new political editor. And we're talking about this great 2024 State Wisconsin Legislature Voter Guide. Check it out. It's on our website at civicmedia.us. It's very comprehensive, and it's going to inform you about what your choices are and where these people stand on issues. And it's a really, really valuable resource. I did want to mention, Dan, it's a good thing we had a little break there because Greg had to reboot me. When you mentioned...
Oh, you're muted, Dan.
You're muted.
I think mentioning the words Robin Voss and minority leader in the same sentence briefly broke Jane's brain.
I think I blacked out for a minute. I'm not quite sure. It was just like... That's something that I hadn't really even realistically thought of.
I mean,
because it just seems so impossible.
A Wisconsin post Robin Voss is something that's going to be interesting.
Well, if he would, I mean, rather than be in the minority in the assembly, I think he would retire. I think that would be humiliating for him after being ostensibly the most powerful Republican in Wisconsin for all these years.
He is the longest serving assembly speaker in Wisconsin's history. And he's been in the assembly now for 20 years. And so, you know, it's a nice round number to end on, perhaps, right? That's something like that. But at the same time, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. But gosh, that's
awful. There's a lot of work to be done. And Robin Voss is in a pretty safe Republican district. So we're expecting him to be reelected again. But just the possibility of him not being the one calling the shots is a very tantalizing prospect there.
I think that I don't think he if he wins re-election, he loses the speakership, he stays in to be a pebble in the shoe.
Just to be an annoyance.
This is the man who said after the last election, we're going to keep on with these referendums.
True.
Which, so he's not going anywhere. He wants to be an annoyance to anyone and everyone. So I don't see him retiring.
Yes, we all find our joy somewhere.
It's his only job. What is he going to get hired as an MS or as a Fox News correspondent? No.
He's got a mountain of popcorn to go sit on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to depend on a number of these these races in the assembly. There's 8 toss-ups on my list and 4 close races. Do you know how many toss-ups were on my 2022 preview list?
None.
Zero? Any
previously gerrymandered maps? One.
One.
Whoa. There was one toss-up of the 99 assembly districts on my previous preview. So just goes to show you how many more competitive seats there are under these new, more fair maps that we have in place for the 2024 election.
So which are some of the other ones that stand out to you? You already mentioned Jody Habish-Sinikin and Dewey Strable. What are some of the other districts you think we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, since we're talking about the assembly with Robin Voss, and that preview is going to be posting very soon. I mentioned the one in Sheboygan. Let's see. There's two in the Milwaukee area suburbs that I think should get some attention. David Marsteller as the Democrat running against incumbent Republican Jesse Rodriguez in District 21. That is in kind of around Oak Creek and South Milwaukee. Rodriguez is actually a pretty strong incumbent. So the math on this one suggests that this would be a Democratic pickup. But Rodriguez is kind of one of the more sane members of the Assembly Republicans. And she has outrun the top of the ticket on a number of occasions. So even though the math says this is kind of a Democrat plus 8 seat, we know incumbency really matters in a lot of these races, especially with somebody like Rodriguez, who has performed well at the ballot box. So that's one that maybe would you know, some of the projection sites that I was looking at was projecting that as a Democratic win. I move that more to a toss-up. I think that, you know, we'll see on that particular seat. Another one that, you know, I've talked about a whole lot over the years, it is, again, in toss-up territory. Lou Ann Bird running against Bob Donovan in District 61. We know Bob Donovan has a ton of name recognition in the area as an alderman in the city of Milwaukee for 20 years, running 2 failed campaigns for mayor. Bob Donovan, Lou Ann Bird race is going to be a close one. There's also 2 races in the Green Bay area that are both toss-ups. So I think if there is like one city or one kind of county to really look at is going to make a huge difference in the state assembly, it's Brown County, because there's a toss-up district in the state Senate for District 30. Jamie Wall against Republican Jim Rafter there. That's going to be a close one. And then the 2 districts in the assembly that I've keyed on, District 88, Democrat Christy Welch, who's currently the chair of the Brown County Democrats there, running against a guy named Ben Franklin, who beat a guy named Phil Collins
in the primary. Right.
Yeah. that one's another district won by both Tony Evers and Scott and Ron Johnson. District 89, Democrat Ryan Spouty, who's in the Brown County District Attorney's Office, running against Patrick Buckley. That is another very close one. Buckley's been on the Brown County Board since 2010. 2 pretty experienced candidates there. And then District 94, in the La Crosse area. This was the closest one on the map a couple years ago. Steve Doyle is the Democrat there. He has a pretty good chance of winning re-election. He's been in the assembly for quite a long time. So a lot of key districts to look at. All the details on Civic Media this afternoon.
Sounds good. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for your time. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area and check out our website and his voter guide at civicmedia.us. Thanks a lot, Dan. News coming up next. When we return, go for the green and gold. Our statewide text to win contest continues. Download the app. We'll do it right after this. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.